Narelle, and we're going to have the Bible reading now. The passage is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together when so many around the world are unable to gather and worship you. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have new life and eternal hope in you. Lord, we pray you'll give us soft hearts and ears to hear what you are saying to us. Be with Sam as he comes and opens your word to us. We ask this through the power of your Holy Spirit and in Jesus' name, amen. So in today's reading, the chapter before that talks a lot about Abraham and righteousness and everything. And Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life so that we could benefit from that and be justified, that is, made righteous with God in the sight of God. So let's keep reading. There's always an interesting thing happening when it says therefore, but I'm sure Sam will probably talk to us about that as well. So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Well, good morning, everybody. You can all hear me okay? Yeah, good stuff. Good morning, church family. If you don't know me, my name is Sam Tobin, and I'm greatly honored to be bringing us the message from God's Word today. This passage we've just heard read for us in Romans 5 paints us a wonderful picture, a picture of great hope. And this picture, it presents to us three different paths. It presents to us the past, the present, and the future. But before we continue with that, let me just pray for us now. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. And no matter what earthly suffering or glory we experience, we know that none of it will truly last. Through your Son Jesus, we are made true and justified by faith. And we thank you so much for that. We ask now that as we look into your word, that we keep our eyes on the amazing sacrifice shown to us on the cross. We ask that we may have open hearts to receive the message you want us to hear. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So a number of years ago, I was able to go to Tasmania on a school trip. It was really fun, and let me tell you, it got pretty crazy. It was a choir trip. So lots of singing, lots of questionable a cappella. But during that trip, I was very fortunate. We were able to go and see a lot of different sites across Tasmania. And one of my favorite sites was Southwest National Park. And we got to go on this skywalk, and it was so beautiful. And we got to this point where we had to cross over this river, and we had to cross over a suspension bridge. A suspension bridge, you know, we've all seen them before. They wibble and woggle 2 points either side. And as I'm walking across it, the wind picks up a bit. It starts to wobble. And, you know, the river beneath it is flowing pretty fast. You know, if I fell in it, you know, I'd say I'm a pretty good swimmer, but I'd be gone, is all I can say. But anyway, so it's wobbling. I'm holding on a little bit. But unfortunately for me, I'm in between a group of high school boys. So they start shaking it, and I'm like, boys, please stop. Anyway, we got to the other side. I survived. I lived to tell the tale. But the reason I want to tell this story today is because I think today's passage, it looks a bit like a suspension bridge with these two supports on either side. These supports in our passage today are the past and the future. And the bridge that sways and rocks in the middle, that's the present. So let's jump in together, have a look at Romans 5, starting at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Therefore, it was mentioned in the reading, and an important word to notice here, this first verse is a consequence or a result of something. So to find out, we have to quickly jump back to the last verse of chapter 4. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Because Jesus has died for our sins and because Jesus has risen to life again, therefore, if we put our faith in him, we are justified. And as a consequence, we have peace with God. As Paul writes this letter to the Romans, he makes it abundantly clear that by faith, we already have peace with God through Jesus. Peace with God isn't gained, earned, won, worked for, or bought. It's already given to us. Having peace with God means that we are no longer enemies. There is no longer anger between us and God. This battle between God and ourselves is over, and God has won us. See, this first part of our passage is our first support. It's our past. And the thing about the past is we can't change it. It's already happened. No matter how good or bad we are, nothing can change the fact that Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins so that we can, by our faith, stand in Jesus' amazing peace. We may rest in this glorious and comforting grace we have with God. And can I just say this now? If you're new to church or you're trying to figure out who God is, maybe you've been coming to church your whole life, this is an incredibly important message for you to know. No matter how far we have gone from God, we are assured that Christ has died for us. Through this past, we experience God's love in its fullest, God sending his own Son for our sake. Later on in Romans 5, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for us when we were faithful followers of him, giving our lives to him, coming to church every week, serving him. Christ died for us when we deserved to die because we ignored God. We took this gift of life saying it was ours and that we deserved it, and not that it was a loving gift given to us. God demonstrates his own love for us because he is loving, not because we deserve his love. So that's the past. That's where we've come from. And I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good place to come from, I think. But that's only our first supporting beam on our bridge, the first support solid in the ground. What about the other support? Where are we going? Well, our future, it's written in the second half of verse 2. Let's have a look. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. That's our future, the glory of God. Because of what's happened in the past through Jesus, we have this hope that as we walk along this bridge, we look forward to the glory of God that will once again be revealed in us. Paul writes about glory, our God's glory, all throughout Romans. And before this passage, it was usually for people to be compared to. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But now we can see here in Romans 5 that this glory is suddenly not just something we are compared to, but it's for hope again. This is salvation, where God is going to reinstate us to what we were meant to be. Through Jesus, we will be glorified, given glory that is beyond our comprehension. We are looking towards an eternity with him. That is what we hope in. That is our future. So we've just concluded that we can't change the past. It's already happened. But we can change the future, right? Well, we might be able to change little things in an earthly sense, like if my mum asks me to empty the dishwasher and I don't, well, I know she's going to be upset with me. She might punch me in the arm. But if I do, I know she's going to say, oh, you're the best son ever, Sam. I love you so much. Why can't the other one be like that? But that just might be perks of being a third child. But this future, this hope of the glory of God that is offered to us in Jesus, it can't be changed when we have our faith in him. It can't be changed because the future relies on the past. It relies on Jesus' death and resurrection. Our hope is not only the future, but also the past. Through Jesus' resurrection, we too can hope for our resurrection. It supports our lives in the present as we look towards the future. That's why it's the other supporting beam. Solid in the ground, without it, we just fall straight into the rushing water. There would be no other side for us to hope in. So here's our illustration. We've seen where we've come from and where we're going. And both these points, they can't be changed. But we aren't at either of these points. We're in the middle. We are on the swinging bridge that sways and rocks, and it doesn't always feel stable. We are in the present. Let's have a look. Verse 3. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. Huh? We what now? Glory in our sufferings? Well, I didn't realize suffering was part of the deal. I'm out. Well, I don't want anything bad to happen to me. We have peace with God, right? We just heard about this amazing glory of God that is going to be revealed in us. But before that, we're going to have to suffer? And we're going to boast in that suffering? To me, that sounds completely upside down. It just doesn't make sense. No one wants to boast in their hardships, do they? But Paul writes that Christians are almost called to suffer as a vocation. So in order to do that, we must change the way we look at and face suffering. But first, we need to figure out what kind of suffering Paul is writing about. And there are three kinds of suffering that I want to talk about today. Three ways our walk along the bridge is shaken and made unstable. The first is the suffering that comes from being an earthly creature experiencing the suffering of the world. Now, this suffering is like the winds that blow on us, that shake the bridge and make it hard to see our destination. We will face pain, grief, loss, disease, and ultimately death. Jesus too faced worldly suffering. He too was a man. He too faced death. He faced suffering on a cross, just as we will face suffering in death. The second suffering, it comes from being a follower of Jesus. It's like the rocking from everybody else. And it may not be something that we as 21st century Christians experience today so obviously, but Paul suffered immensely during his time of ministry. He was lashed, beaten, stoned. He spent nights at sea alone just for wanting to tell people about Jesus. Paul suffered greatly, and yet he still had his hope in Jesus. Even when he felt nothing but despair, he continued to live in between the light of what Jesus has done for us and what has been promised to us. Thankfully, in a country like Australia, violence against Christians isn't so common, but we can't forget that places in our world still persecute Christians. Just because we live in such comfort doesn't mean it doesn't happen. In day-to-day life, we will experience questions, looks, remarks, but we can't let that discourage us. If we want to stand in God's glory, we must too stand in his suffering. And finally, the third type of suffering, and that is the suffering that comes from addressing the sin in our own lives. It's almost like missing planks on the bridge. It's the suffering that God calls us into. We are called to die to ourselves. If we want to be faithful followers of Jesus, we need to take a look at the mark that sin leaves on our lives. Taking a step back and looking and realizing the deep sin within us, it's painful. It hurts to realize how much sin actually has a hold of us. But wrestling with that sin to overcome it, whilst it is suffering, it reveals in us the person that God has intended us to be. And if we want to become more Christ-like, we must deny ourselves the world. To say no to the world means realizing we shouldn't be living for what we want or what feels good to us or what the world tells us we should want, but it means living for what God intends us to and how he wants us to live in our lives. So we're going to suffer. Got it. And you might be hearing this and going, yeah, I already know this. I'm going through it right now. But can I just say, when we don't know Jesus, suffering seems pointless. And it is very lonely. But with Jesus, when we know him, there is a reason we suffer. There is a greater purpose. So let's have a look at what the point of the present suffering is. Let's have a look, verse 3 and 4. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So now we're starting to see the connections to the future. Without suffering, we wouldn't be able to see the hope of the glory of God we will get to experience through Jesus. God is building in us a life of faith that can embrace going through difficult times. A life that is being formed to be Christ-like, to be like Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life, and it was through his suffering that he grew in God's character. In Hebrews, it says this, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Jesus was made perfect by his suffering. And so too are we shaped to be more Christ-like by our own suffering. Suffering builds us perseverance and develops in us a human character, a character that aligns with our Father in heaven's character, a character that helps us to rely on this hope that we have in heaven. Just as Jesus hoped for the body in resurrection, so do we. We have a hope that can never be taken away or changed. C.S. Lewis, his novel, The Screwtape Letters, it gives us a great little quote on why we experience suffering. For context, he writes from the perspective of a demon, Screwtape, writing to his nephew, Wormwood. We've spoken about it here at church before. But let's have a look at this quote together. It is during such trough periods, much more than during the peak periods, that it is growing into the sort of creature he wants it to be. As God's children, we can be confident that the sufferings we face have purpose to grow us, to produce in us true living hope. Without suffering, without these wobbles and shakes on the bridge of the present, we would never see the true depth of Jesus' sacrifice for us. We would never be able to truly discern how our future in a new heaven and a new earth, a new creation, will be so much better. Thinking about the three sufferings I spoke of earlier, if we submit to them in the right way, it can lead to growing in Christ-likeness. They can develop our character, which leads to us having a reliance on hope. If we understand why we suffer, we can understand what we have been saved to be. Christians should have a different framework and understanding this world. Even though this world is beautiful, it's still a world under judgment. Because we know of the past and of this promised future, we can let go of the present and focus our eyes on the future through the cross. This life is temporary, and participating in a world where death seems to win is hard. But we need to fully believe in the other side of death. We must persevere. Having faith in God doesn't mean we're sitting around in our suffering doing nothing, but having faith in God means we now do everything with trust and reliance on him. In the suffering we face, God's grace provides us with the strength that we need. So now we can finish our illustration. We are living in the light of both what has been done in Jesus and what we can hope for in heaven. Our bridge will rock, and it is hard to hold on, but no matter if we look backwards or forwards, we know of God's amazing love for us, shown to us in Jesus. But there's one more aspect of this illustration that covers the past, the present, and the future. God is with us for all of this to happen. Let's have a look at our final verse of our passage today, verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. I think a lot of time through trials and hardships, having hope can almost be looked down upon. I think for me, and maybe for you too, we can never see the light at the end of the dark tunnel. But in verse 5, we see Paul telling us that this hope that is being presented to us does not put us to shame. And shame is the direct opposite of what we were promised, glory. No matter the trials, no matter the amount of suffering, we will always have hope. And this hope is seen by the pouring out of God's love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. God's deep and true love for us isn't just given partly into our hearts, but poured entirely into our hearts. We all have the Spirit within us, but it is up to us to allow the Spirit to work in us and to change us to live in the way God wants us to be. This is David MacDonald, and he wrote this book, Hope Beyond a Cure, after being diagnosed with an incurable tumor. He writes a lot about this hope that we have in Jesus, the same hope that he wrestled with in his own suffering. And he provides to us an idea on how we live in this hope despite the sufferings around us. He writes this: in the same way an expectant mother groans in the pains of childbirth, the enduring of suffering because she's looking forward to new life to come, so do Christians groan as they long for new life. We look forward to receiving the share of inheritance God has promised, eternal life. But for now, we must wait. And because waiting isn't easy, we groan inwardly as we look forward to seeing all that we can't see yet. I think for the last 2 years, we've had plenty of opportunity to persevere, grow in character, and rely on hope as a wider community and as a church community. Obviously, COVID has impacted a lot of aspects of our lives. I have to wear a mask. It's so annoying. My plans have been canceled. My year is ruined. But in reflection, have we actually been persevering? Have we been growing in character, growing in the likeness of Christ? Have we been actively relying on faith and our faith that there is a greater hope for us? Or have we just been complaining, groaning outwardly instead of groaning inwardly as we wait for the hope of the glory of God? This hope we have with God through Jesus is amazing, but we are waiting for it. Groaning inwardly means realizing we are saved, and now we can confidently go through the difficulty of persevering with the sin of our lives and of the world. We are weak, we are fragile, and we will always suffer. But Jesus has died and has risen to show us that suffering faced in the right way can be a way of growth, and that when we deal with the sin in our own lives, we need to continue to know God, even in that pain. And look, you might be sitting here hearing this and going, you don't understand what I'm going through, what I've been through. And you're right. I don't know what you've been through, what you're going through, what you are going to go through, but I do know this. I know that Jesus has died on the cross for you. And if we put our faith in him, we have an assured hope that we will be glorified in heaven, a place with no suffering. All that we've heard today, it's a tough reality to learn, to realize that we have to suffer. But perhaps what the world needs to see is Christians who not only believe in the gospel, but who live it so committedly that suffering of all kinds, it doesn't put them off God, but they use it to demonstrate the truth of the gospel so that they can continue to strengthen their faith in him. Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you are good. We thank you for love that you pour out into our hearts. Lord, we admit that we struggle in dealing with suffering, but we ask that you give us strength to know that we can grow in suffering to be in the likeness of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for what Jesus has done for us on the cross and the great hope that comes with that. We are waiting for you, Lord, because we need you. We pray now that you provide us comfort in our sufferings, whether past, present, or future, so that we may always keep our eyes looking to the cross. In Jesus' name and by the power of the Spirit, amen.